I'm Neil from Legends Podcast, a podcast member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the one you're listening to now. The opinions expressed are those of each individual. Check out all the other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com and get ready, because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
Audibly Exquisite, episode number 79. I'm Mike Norn with
Peter Melnick.
And Peter Melnick, tell the good folks at home what we're all about.
What Audibly Exquisite is about is we are your one-stop source for all things geek culture, be it movies, television, video games, comic books, you name it.
We're gonna cover it.
And let's see, Mike, you can find us on a wide variety of social media platforms, including Twitter, at the AE Podcast, myself, at Peter Melnick, P-E-T-E-R-M-E-L-N-I-C-K, yourself.
Mike_Noren, N-O-R-E-N.
And let's see, also, you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/...
Audibly Exquisite.
You could find us on Instagram at...
Audibly Exquisite.
And let's see, also, you can find us on the worldwide interwebs at www.
Titsout.com.
No.
Oh, audiblyexquisite.com.
Let's see. Also, you can help support the show by going on Patreon at patreon.com/...
Let me guess. Audibly Exquisite.
All right. And when you go on Patreon, you can help support the show through a wide variety of different tiered rewards. So for $2 a month, you get the Audibly Exquisite video newsletter, which we really have to get to doing one of these days.
Oh, shit.
Yep. And also, for $10 a month, you can have a custom episode made just for you, and then eventually down the line, I believe...
Are we still doing our $1,000 a month thing?
We only go up to 50, believe me. I would love to.
$1,000 incentive. Don't forget what we said last time.
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge, say no more. But, yeah, so basically for $10 a month, you get a custom episode, and it'll go public in, like, 3 to 6 months after, probably 6 months.
Yeah, because no one wants to hear your custom episode.
Until later on.
Yeah.
And then for $50 a month, you get all those rewards from before... And you get to guest host on this fine program.
And one lucky winner gets a free t-shirt.
And also...
Size small. Whatever Pete grows out of. Or shrinks out of.
Also, we are on the Gunna Geek Podcast Network. Go to www.gunnageek.com and find a wide variety of different geeky goodness for your ear holes. And also rate, review, subscribe, and share on iTunes. And you also find us on a wide variety of streaming platforms, including TuneIn Radio, Stitcher Radio, and... Podomatic, available again for all iOS and Android devices. I'm out of breath from that. So we are not just joined with ourselves in our company, but we are joined with a man who is the 2016 Figure Four Weekly Overweight Classic Champion, and he is a House of Hardcore trainee and superstar. Oh, and also he was involved in the 2016 Ring of Honor Top Prospect Tournament. He is Mr. Action Ortiz. Ben, how you doing today?
Hello, how's it going?
Pretty good, pretty good. Now, Ben, how can people get a hold of you on social media?
At Twitter, I'm The Action Ortiz. On Instagram, Action Ortiz. If you can find me on Facebook, I will probably add you. Just don't be creepy.
Very cool, very cool. Now, you're a big comic head. We've actually, I was at one of the House of Hardcore shows, like, years ago. I was hanging out with you and fellow... HOH wrestler CJ Mirror, and you know, we're talking about, like, you and I are talking about comics. That's how, you know, you and I became friends and everything. And you know, we both talked about how we're big fans of, you know, the Garth Ennis classic Preacher. What have you been reading lately?
I bought the two huge books for Invincible, so I've been reading that. Also, Deadly Class, I've been reading, and trying to catch up on the new Old Man Logan.
I've heard, I know that you and I were talking about it before, the Secret Wars one wasn't that good, right?
It was hot trash.
But I heard, like, the current run is really good.
It's good. It's just, it was just a little weird. Pretty much where Secret Wars did happen, Logan remembers it, but it didn't really happen because now he's in the new world.
Right. I'm
I'm on a big X-Men kick myself. Like literally before I got here, I was like reading the 1980s Wolverine ongoing series, not the four-issue Frank Miller one, but like the straight-up 80s one. Good stuff, man.
Yeah, I mean, like I like the first Old Man Logan's a classic.
Oh, yeah.
And it kind of like left it off where you thought they were going to do kind of like a side series. They didn't really pick up on it until Secret Wars. And then the Secret Wars one was horrible and made no sense. And now the new one is pretty good so far.
I believe the Secret Wars one was written by Brian Michael Bendis, right?
I'm not sure, but it was awful. It was drawn well.
Bendis has like this really weird thing going on in the comic community where like he did an amazing Spider-Man, you know, run, and then like he does Guardians of the Galaxy, and it's like that's hot trash supposedly, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of bums me out because he is a good writer when he wants to be, but like I heard Civil War II isn't that good either, which makes me sad.
It's kind of weird because you remember stuff, you know, when they redo stuff. You're kind of weary, but they totally changed the story.
Right.
It gets kind of weird.
Yeah, I know. What's it called? How excited are you for Logan, by the way?
From what I was listening to another podcast that I guess at a festival, they played the first 40 minutes, and they couldn't say what was in it. I guess they signed something or whatnot, but they said what they saw was good. So that's exciting, especially – I mean, it's – the first movie was awful.
Oh, yeah.
You know, both versions of it, even though it is funny to see if you watch that first version that leaked the fights in green screen and the little notes, they're like, oh, this is going to be CGI here.
I've wanted to see it for so long.
It's pretty funny. And then the main one that they actually came up with was awful, where it made Deadpool. It kind of took Deadpool back 10 years.
Dude, I'm such a big Deadpool fan that when I saw that like years later, like because I didn't watch it initially, it broke my heart because I'm like, man, you have this character, the Merc with a Mouth, and you sew it shut.
Yeah, it made no sense. It made no sense. The best part about him is him talking, so let's not make him talk.
Pretty much. And it's like, in regards to Deadpool, by the way, if Ryan Reynolds can no longer do the role, who could you see play the role of Deadpool one day? Now, like, you know, because we're getting possibly, you know, maybe one day a new Wolverine. You never know.
It's like, it'd have to be somebody with good comedy timing. I mean, maybe like a Ryan Gosling or something, because you got to think, you got to have the physical part about it.
Right.
And you also have to be funny.
You need some charisma also.
Yes.
That special kind of Deadpool charisma.
For me, if I had to go with someone, I would go with Daniel Tosh. Like, if you read the Deadpool comics, Daniel Tosh could do an amazing Deadpool, I feel.
What about T.J. Miller?
I think that would be hilarious if they did that.
like T.J. Miller, think about him in the suit. I don't think it would be the greatest fit.
Yeah, it'd be kind of goofy.
I think that would be hilarious to see, though, not going to lie.
What about Bradley Cooper?
Bradley Cooper's tied up in the Marvel Cinematic Universe,
like,
though.
What if?
If it happened, yeah. Ben?
It's kind of like, it's got to be somebody who can do action and do comedy, so it's a pretty short list.
Danny DeVito.
A little throwback?
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to show, like, maybe he's running a taco truck. Then we can go that way.
I think one of the things about, like, you know, the character of Deadpool, like, it's such a cult classic kind of hero, but it works, you know, like it's blown up in the mainstream though, which I dig the hell out of.
Well, I mean, like, if you look at the comic book, he dies, like everything dies.
Yeah.
And then they just kind of scrubbed it off and said, well, we're just gonna run it.
By the way, going back to the Logan thing. With people, you know, guessing what the movie is going to be about and everything, I kind of noticed if you look at how he looks in the trailer, you know, with that, like, he has that Mel Gibson-looking kind of beard. He actually has the same beard that Logan has in Death of Wolverine, like at his second issue or whatever. He has that exact beard, and I'm like, they can't use everything from Old Man Logan, because what characters, you know?
Well, I mean, if you think about it, the main villain of Old Man Logan, you can't even put into the movie.
Right. I know. Wasn't the main villain Hulk?
Yes.
Yeah.
Like Hulk and his kind of incestuous family.
Oh, that just makes it even worse.
Yeah. It was him with She-Hulk, and I mean, I know.
Which is She-Hulk is his cousin, right, or sister?
Yeah, cousin.
Were they from Alabama?
Oh,
no
God.
Offense to Alabamians who listen to this show.
Is that how they call themselves? I know it's
that's what I call them.
Ohioans are Ohioans.
Maybe they're called Alabama Slammers or something.
Ugh, hardcore. That's a new definition of hardcore Holly.
Ugh.
I mean, if you look at some of the characters in that are part of the Hulk family, there's a lot of them are very redneckish.
Oh yeah. So yeah, you know, with Guardians of the Galaxy, I mean. Like, my heart's still with that, you know? How about yourself?
Well, I mean, if you look at the week that the director had that and the Belkel experiment, I mean, both those trailers were amazing.
Oh, yeah. Honestly, I feel like they are definitely onto something with that. Like, I can't wait to see what happens with that, you know, movie. Because did you ever think Big Dave Bautista would actually be a really good actor?
I mean, I could always see him as like an action kind of bodyguard type guy.
Right.
But the comedy, you know, you saw it at the end of his first run in WWE, but you never really saw him in comedies.
Yeah, I mean, like,
that always weirds me out too, because I always could see him like in those cheesy little, you know,
direct-to-DVD
movies, not a friggin' A-list movie with A-list actors.
It's just one of those things that, I mean, you know, they were making a big deal about him being in the Pitch Black movies, and then that movie was supposed to be a trilogy, and it was awful.
Oh, yeah.
So,
out of all the people, who is the one that you're most excited to see in Guardians of the Galaxy?
I mean, Little Groot is hilarious. What I want to know is, I haven't really looked at IMDb, but if they are still doing Vin Diesel and just changing his voice, that's the greatest job in the world.
Or if it's Vin Diesel doing, like, a little voice.
Oh, my God.
Oh, that would be even better, because think about it, different. Because didn't he do all the different languages?
Yeah. He said, really? I am Groot in like hundreds of different languages. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's tremendous. I'd love to hear those versions.
He's a good voice actor. He did Iron Giant.
Oh, yeah. And I know one of the people that I'm looking, like one of the new cast members, you know, we're hearing that, you know, have you heard some of the people that are going to be in it?
For which one?
For Guardians 2.
I heard like, Jeff Bridges? Is it Jeff Bridges?
Yeah, Jeff Bridges is it.
Wait, no. What's his name?
Or who is it?
Jack Burton. Good old Jack Burton.
Jeff Bridges was cast in it also.
Yeah. Isn't he supposed to be allegedly the dad? Or is that... Or, you know, I mean, they haven't really announced who he's going to be.
Hopefully he plays the dude. Imagine that.
I swear it's not Jeff.
Kurt Russell?
Kurt Russell. There we go.
That's what it is.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought I saw Jeff Bridges in some kind of Marvel movie or something coming up.
Well, I know that Sylvester Stallone is actually going you know, going to be in... let me see. Because somebody just had Jeff Bridges, Guardians of the Galaxy. No, it's everyone's confusing him with Jeff Bridges or Kurt Russell.
Oh, wow.
Oh, okay.
Jeff Bridges was in Iron Man, though, remember?
Oh, that's right. He's already in the Marvel universe.
Obadiah Stanky.
Mm-hmm.
So,
a waste of Jeff Bridges.
No, he was. What did you think of Jeff Bridges in the first Iron Man?
Forgettable.
I mean, if you're gonna put him I thought he was gonna be a bigger part.
Right, a vicious, you know, businessman kind of, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's weird because some parts you think they're gonna be bigger for people, and they just end up being just bit parts.
He did, like, I hated that they killed his character off, because, like, have you noticed, like, other than Loki, I believe, we haven't had any returning villains in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I don't count Thanos, because he hasn't actually met any of them yet.
I mean, if you're going to say, even, you know, Bucky, but he really isn't, like, he was brainwashed, but he keeps messing up.
Yeah, like how Hawkeye was, you know, initially a villain as well, which I liked that idea. You know, they made him into a villain because what was he in the comics originally? A villain.
Yeah.
I know you're a big Marvel head as well, you know, just like I am, so, you know, or as the phrase used to be, a quote-unquote Marvel zombie. And I literally just did for an audio podcast, people, the quotation hands just now for that, so that helped. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm definitely excited for what's to come this next year, you know. How about, you know, the Spider-Man movie that's coming out, Homecoming? What do you think about, you know, that?
It looks a lot better than I thought it was going to be, being, you know, Spider-Man 3 and then the Amazing Spider-Mans were. I hated past two. I hated all of them.
I like the first one. I didn't care. And I've tried to rewatch it, though, and I couldn't, you know, get through it. So,
I mean, 3 was the – I mean, we have emo. I mean, when you think of Venom, you think of crazy. You think, you know, sadistic. And he's just dancing down the street.
For me, with that movie, and I've said it repeatedly, I like Topher Grace. He would have made a great Peter Parker. He made a terrible Eddie Brock, you know, Venom. Just awful.
Yeah, it was...
Like, if it was up to you, you know, who would you cast as Venom? I'd go with Brock Lesnar myself, to be honest. He has the look.
I mean, for... If you're looking at it, like, after he's been transformed kind of deal.
Right.
But you still need that kind of, like, skinny person who, you know... I mean, even though in the comic book he's kind of a built guy, but I like the skinny person turning into a monster.
Right.
Yeah. So I'm not sure offhand like who I would put into that.
Right.
Me.
Mike, you would do an amazing job.
I'm Venom. Look at me. La 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 la.
La la la. Wait, were you just doing Christmas carols just now for part of that?
No, la 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 la. A tongue thing.
Okay. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I just want to see. I want to see these movies turn out really, really well. You know.
Yeah, I mean, they're on a good streak. But and like there's some movies that I liked that I thought were gonna do bad, like Ant-Man, and you know, before you knew anything about Guardians of the Galaxy, because you know that's kind of Ant-Man and Guardians of the Galaxy were kind of the lesser known movie, you know, comic books until you know it got to the screen.
Right. Now, before we get on, we're going to get into our main show topics, but before we do, Ben, we're going to have to mute you for approximately, I want to say, 2 to 3 minutes. Is that okay?
Copy.
Sounds good, because what we're going to be doing next is we're going to be discussing, Mike and I, we both saw Rogue One, A Star Wars Story. So, we will be back with you, Ben, but audience, keep on listening. So, here
Unless
we go.
Unless you haven't seen Rogue One.
So, here we go right now. So, Mike, we both saw Rogue One. What did you think of the movie?
I liked it. Maybe a little more than Force Awakens.
I'm one of those. I liked Force Awakens a lot more. I mean, yes, there was, you know, it had its problems. It wasn't the perfect movie, but it still had that Star Wars feel to it, much like this did.
Definitely more of a war movie.
Yeah, which there's been a lot of, you know, like articles like Vox.com did this thing. This is the first Star Wars movie to put emphasis or to actually have war. And then people are like, well, if you look, it says Star Wars. What Vox meant was this is the first movie to put emphasis on the war because the war is always in the background.
Yeah, like battles and stuff. They're out in the field fighting. I mean, we only seen like a little bit of that with Episode 1 with the Gungans versus the droids. We never seen like a full-on onslaught of...
I actually disagree. I think like the closest one to have a war was Attack of the Clones.
Oh, yeah, in the pit there?
Yeah.
Arena?
But even then, what was...
Or battles, I don't know. But anyway, like...
The Clone War itself took a, you know, a backseat to what? The relationship between, you know, Padme and Anakin. And I mean, I enjoyed the movie. I thought Donnie Yen did a phenomenal job in his role. And then, you know, Alan Tudyk stole the show as, you know, K, the robot K to
the
Elemental
big tall
P.
thing, right?
Yeah. If you have not seen the movie, we're about to spoil it a little bit more. Just to let you know, we're spoiling it. So, Mike, if you want to not know what happens, turn off this podcast, go see the movie.
Go see it.
So anyway, when they kill off his character, this is the second time, you know, Alan Tudyk character gets killed. A pilot he plays gets killed.
Mm.
You know, in Serenity Firefly, his character gets a thing, you know, jammed through his chest and he dies.
He shouldn't be flying stuff in space.
I think it's like is one of his contractual things. Oh, I play a pilot? Well, I have to die in this film.
Kind of like Sean Bean?
Yeah, man.
It's, like, all right, Sean Bean's in the movie, kill him.
It's definitely crazy that, you know, they're doing that, but
kinda
I don't
like,
know.
You know, Joe Pesci always plays an Italian tough guy.
Yeah, I mean... But again, going back to the movie, like Donnie Yen was a phenomenal addition to this.
Yeah, he was cool.
And there's actually people going on, you know, reading way too much into this, saying the relationship between him and the other actor, whose name I don't know.
Did you catch any Easter eggs?
Oh yeah,
a couple of Rebels Easter eggs. I didn't really
Chopper
watch,
showed up.
Yep, I didn't really watch Rebels, so I kind of had to go back and see what the Easter eggs were.
The ship itself showed up. All
yeah,
this stuff.
The fleet.
And the big thing for me, though, not an Easter egg, but the biggest thing of the movie that you and I both didn't know about, and then we saw the movie, and holy shit, it happens. Who makes an appearance?
Tarkin.
Yeah.
And also, I don't like you either.
Well, for me, with Tarkin, that was crazy, because like when he shows up, my jaw dropped, because I thought Tarkin would just be there in passing, like mentioned.
Yeah.
No, he showed up. They got the estate and had him included.
Vader in a Bacta tank?
Vader doing a rub-a-dub-dub bath, you know? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Robert Darkley are the one.
But I like...
Sung by Disco Inferno.
But anyway. Oh, boy.
We're going to have a podcast war against...
Unintentionally. Hey, I'm not doing anything disco. If you're hearing this, just let you know, I'm not doing shit.
Disco, we're coming for you.
I like how I made it to the hashtag disco list, by the way, by using one of your Photoshops, and he blamed me for it.
Anyway, bring it on, disco.
Keeping it 100 on the Jericho Network on Podcast 1. Give that a listen. Anyway, so... But yeah, basically with the whole Tarkin thing, I dug the hell out of the fact that they included him in that, because this is, you know, this means we could have another Hammer horror icon who was in the Star Wars films, Christopher Lee, reprise his role.
Oh, that'd be cool.
If they, you know, because I want to see Count Dooku with his dildo lightsaber, you know?
I think he trained, no, he didn't train Maul, did he?
I don't know, but like, dude, you do realize, like, this means we could see Christopher Lee and Peter Cushing together on screen one more time.
Yeah, we can see a lot of things.
Yes, it had a little bit of
uncanny. Young Harrison Ford, like.
And just like we saw young Princess
Leia. From New
Hope. Yeah. Just like we saw young Princess Leia. And, like, my thing about this is this.
Isn't fucking technology great nowadays?
It's amazing. But the thing is, you know, we have that happening. We could even bring in actors who died that never were in the Star Wars movies.
Yeah.
Because if we're doing, you know, Peter Cushing, Christopher Lee, if it happens, we could bring in the third guy from the Hammer horror films into the fold,
mm-hmm.
Vincent Price.
Yeah.
If Vincent Price had lived past the early 1990, could you have seen him in the Star Wars films?
He would have made a good Sith.
He would have been, dude, he would have been fucking amazing.
Yeah.
And the fact, you know Lucas would have cast him into something.
Oh, absolutely.
But the fact, and you know.
Well, he probably could have been Dooku.
But he could have also been alongside Christopher Lee as well. And it didn't happen, but man, that would have been rad. But now, you know, with technology the way it is, it could happen.
We could be in it.
Well, we have to die first, Mike, and I don't want to have that happen yet. Oh, no. Anyway, so now that concludes our discussion of Rogue One. So we are going to be bringing back on Mr. Action Ortiz right now.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. You got the message?
Yes.
Okay, we were just basically talking about... We were talking about fluffy bunnies for the past few minutes. Actually, I believe you know.
Well, we can kind of tell without spoiling. In the movie, they bring back a character who passed away using CGI, basically.
Okay.
And
like,
well,
and we're talking about what characters we would like to see that passed away in a Star Wars franchise that could be back. They could even bring back the guy who played Obi-Wan originally.
So now, Ben, did you see the trailer for Blade Runner 2049?
Yes.
How insane was it to see Harrison Ford one more time as Deckard?
Well, I mean, the ending of Blade Runner has been something that's always been talked about, if Harrison Ford was a replicant or not. And it's been, you know, gone back and forth. But from the trailer, obviously he's not a replicant.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I enjoyed watching the trailer, and I'm intrigued to see what they're going to do with this, you know? Because there's going to be a ton of interesting things happening with that, you know, movie. Like, what role... Like, no one knows what Ryan Gosling is going to do in the film, you know?
He told Ryan Gosling in the trailer, I used to do your job.
Wait, what?
He told Ryan Gosling in the trailer, I used to do your job.
Right.
But better.
Now, Ben... What do you think the movie is going to be about?
I think it's going to be Ryan Gosling. You know, it's pretty much doing Harrison Ford's job, but maybe they're having a hard time finding a replicant, and they kind of bring in Harrison Ford into the fold, and they try to hunt down a bad replicant.
So kind of like a lot of the old movies, like, I'm retired, I don't do that no more. Like, we need you one last time.
It's pretty much every Rambo after the second one.
Exactly.
Pretty much, yeah.
We don't do no more. You know they're making another Expendables, right?
I mean, if the second one would have done better, they would have done the younger spinoff.
And wasn't there was going to be an all-female Expendables as well?
They should do an Expendables prequel is what they should do.
Yeah, from what I heard, it was going to be like all like the 80s and 90s female action stars.
I know one of the people, you know, if they did that, I would have loved to have seen like now, you know, with the using technology to bring people back, I would throw Charles Bronson in there in a heartbeat.
Oh, that'd be cool.
You know, one more Bronson movie.
No, they should do a prequel, Expendables prequel, of them all young.
I would like to see that, to be honest.
It would be cooler instead of a bunch of old dudes fumbling around losing their dentures. Sorry.
But the problem is, would Wesley still be in prison? You gotta, you know.
Yeah. Well, Wesley got out.
Snipes?
Yeah.
Well, he got out, but...
Didn't he make a joke in the movie that he didn't pay his taxes and ended up in jail or something?
I could see that. Just that kind of, you know, that humor, level of humor.
Yeah, and then you could have Vildor Valderrama play Antonio Banderas.
There you go.
I mean, my thing with the...
Donald Glover could play young Wesley Snipes.
Yeah, I mean, who else? I mean, like, they're also saying with, you know, Expendables 4 coming out, that's going to be the final one in the franchise. I can't see that, to be completely honest.
Well, you gotta realize people are gonna start taking off like the casket.
I mean,
what is Stallone like? Late 60s, and with all the stuff that he pumps himself in, you know, into him, I don't know how long he's gonna be for this world.
Stallone, I think he's like in his 70s now.
Oh yeah, I mean, but it's, you know, I mean, all the HGH, all the
yeah,
whatever he's taken to, you know, have abs at 60.
My favorite thing.
70.
My favorite story involving Stallone is when he was at New York Comic Con one year. He was doing a signing around the, like, he was doing a signing there while, like, you know, in between filming Expendables, I think, 3. And one of the things was you couldn't shake his hand at all because he didn't want to get sick while, you know, at the convention. And the funniest thing was how much he was charging about, I want to say,
$1,000.
It was a thousand
bucks. Picture in an autograph with Sylvester Stallone.
Yeah, he was like the highest guest to pay for, and when I was there, this was around the time I was trying to, you know, I got a picture with Stan Lee, and I'm looking, you know, waiting for my photo. Every single photo that was sitting on the table, none of them were Sylvester Stallone. No one bit, I guarantee it.
Well, I mean, you never know, because I remember when Hogan did the first WrestleCon, I think his asking price was like $250, and there were hundreds of people in line.
Wow.
It's definitely one of those things that, man, like, the guests, some of the guests for these conventions, they ask for way too much, you know?
Or it could be worse. You could have, like, the opposite of, you know, Virgil just showing up. I saw Virgil one time. He told a kid to come over here. The kid was, like, maybe 7 or 8. He's like, take a picture. You want a picture? All right, we'll take a picture. Takes a picture with the kid. Then he says, tell your parents they owe me $20.
Oh, my God.
That's shitty.
So
that's classic, you know, Virgil, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I've seen him show up at shows in like a sweatpants velour suit, unannounced, and then we'll corner to the promoter and be like, "Come on, you want me to wrestle? 50. All right, 25."
My favorite Virgil story is, well, it's not so much a story, but my favorite Virgil thing is the picture of him sitting in a parking lot with his table set up.
Oh, yeah. He'll say, I've seen pictures of him, you know, the Lonely Virgil pictures, him in the subway.
Once, if you want to see more of Virgil, go to, I believe it's lonelyvirgil.com. It's run by Sam Roberts of SiriusXM, of the Sam and Jim Norton show. So it's a thing. It's like, I've never had the ability to see Virgil. Like, Virgil does the conventions. New York Comic Con, I believe, blackballed him. Like, they don't have him there anymore.
I met Ivan Koloff at Walmart.
Did you really?
Yeah, he had a table set up there.
No way.
The Russian Bear.
Just had a table set up at a...
Taking Polaroid pictures.
Wow.
That was back in like 2007, 2006.
If you look, there's like a famous match where the ring didn't... Or I don't know what they did, but the ring didn't show up to a wrestling show. So they wrestled on wrestling mats.
Yeah, with Nikolai Volkoff, right?
Yeah.
I've seen that before.
I've wanted to watch that match for a while. I believe it's on YouTube, I think.
I knew a promoter down, I think in one of the Carolinas, North or South, that did that. He promoted a show, and It might have been, yeah, well, Volkov, Koloff's from the South, so it might have been that show.
No, I know it's George South.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sounds familiar.
One of my favorite wrestling matches of all time, like, if look it up on YouTube, it's the wrestler Heidenreich fighting Doink the Clown in the parking lot of a Golden Corral.
Oh, yeah, it's a classic. And it's not like, I don't want anyone to get excited, like, oh, they wrestled? No, that was past, that was when Doink was long gone, like 2 years dead.
Of course it was. I love things like that because, like...
Virgil loves sweatpants.
Mike is actually looking up at the moment pictures of Virgil.
Does he just have one pair of gray sweatpants? Because that's all he's wearing.
I actually remember there's a picture of Virgil at in the New York City subway. And he's, like, asking people for autographs. Like, you know, for money for autographs.
The funniest thing that I've ever seen at a signing was, I guess it was, like, the first time in a while that Scott Steiner, Big Papa Pump, had done a signing. So, you know, you have people who leer around and will take pictures and stuff like that. So he saw a guy on his cell phone take a picture. He goes, "What are you doing? It's $20. Hey, get over here." He leaves his table and proceeds to start chasing the man.
Steiner will do that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He totally would. Like, that's one of those things when you hear about it and then you actually see it. It's like, yeah, I believe this. You know, that's not hard to believe. Like, I know he was supposed to do a convention that we attended, Infinity Con.
John Redbeard will do that, too.
Redbeard will?
No.
Oh, because I could see that. Redbeard would do that in a heartbeat.
I'm seeing Redbeard tonight.
Are you?
We're going to have a good brother Christmas fiasco at the buffet in Pennsylvania.
Very cool.
Fun story. He was in jail with my sister's now boyfriend. It's hilarious. It's such a weird connection that, like, they never met. It's just fucking weird. It's totally weird. They're like, I knew Redbeard for years. Then she meets this guy who happened to be in jail with Redbeard at the same time.
I have
jail,
the...
sharing a jail cell with him.
I have the greatest Redbeard story. So I'm bored on a Friday. He's going to wrestle with him and his friend Craig. We're going to go to ECPW in Pennsylvania.
Oh, no.
So we show up, and they have the ring at a mechanics... It looked like an open silo.
As was the style at the time.
Yeah, it was the weirdest thing. So they're loading up the ring, and I'm looking at Redbeard, and I'm cursed. Like, he could see visually in my face, I'm cursing him out.
Right.
So we have me and Redbeard ended up wrestling that night, and I hit him with a spine buster, and I hear clink, 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 clink. And I go, "What's that?" And Craig is doing his coach gimmick, and he's just, you know, blowing a whistle every 5 seconds. And he whispers to me, "You broke the ring." Oh, and I go, "What do you mean we broke the ring?" He goes, "One of the welds is out. Don't bump anymore." So, me and Redbeard have broken a ring together.
That's tremendous. I know. I'm trying to think what else. I ran into Redbeard while I was trolling Rob Feinstein of RF Video about Savio Vega shoot interviews, and, like, just sat with, you know, Redbeard talking for a little while. Good, really good dude. That's how my story ends. But, you know, just all around good dude. And actually, if you all out there look him up on Google, the Xer guys, just phenomenal videos, just hilarious wrestling tag team. Even if you're not a wrestling fan, check them out. Tremendous stuff.
Well, actually, they've broken up.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
they've broken up.
That's because we challenged them to a golf match and they backed out.
You know, it's sad, but we're trying to get Redbeard back out on the road.
Oh, I'm bummed out now.
He's an extra guy.
He's a one-man extra guy. Extra guy, sorry, not extra guy. He's not a life that you get in a Super Mario game. Which
no longer... A pillar of health, you know, pillars of health, just one pillar of health.
And I, you know, the quality of Redbeard, I think he can, you know, hold up as a single pillar.
Yes, so, yes.
By the way, speaking of extra lives, have you gotten your hands on the NES Classic?
No, because for the last 15 years, there's been a thing that I've been using called emulators.
Yeah, same here. OpenMU is pretty damn great.
So I'm not going to, because today is Best Buy Day, and I guess they're having The Nintendo at the Best Buy.
Yeah, I heard about that. And actually, I recently, and I just saw Mike's cat jump over a fence, and that was like the most elegant cat jump I've ever seen.
Tony Soprano.
That was tremendous. Anyway, so basically, I know I went to EB Games, GameStop, and they had it at for like, they had like three of them, they said. And I'm like, really? Only three of them? When you know it's like the hottest item of the season? But that's Nintendo doing it. Mm. And they Mike actually ran into a post on Facebook recently on the being able to buy stuff. Mike, how much was one person selling a 3DS for in our local area? NES Classic?
$500 a piece. And he had like 10 of them.
Yeah, that's being an asshole. And the thing is, he got them from Toys R Us, and he got 7 of them. They never had a limit on how many you could buy, so he just grabbed 7 of them, bought them, and took a picture with one of his gloves off because he needed it for his credit card ability.
And sticking his tongue out.
And sticking his tongue out like an asshole. So, if you want...
Did you know your lips and your butthole skin are the same kind of skin?
His are especially, probably. But... Yeah, like it really disappointed me because I know, like, I don't give a shit. I have half of the games.
No pun
anyway.
Intended. With your butthole lips.
That's tremendous. Anyway,
it's true, Ben.
Yes,
you Google it.
So now, Ben, getting away from assholes with lips and everything, Disney just announced that they've hit $7 billion in terms of global box office gross. Can you believe it?
Is that it? That's how much you bought the fucking franchise for. Did you know that?
For Star Wars,
they bought the Star Wars franchise for $7.4 billion.
Holy shit! Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, you know, do you agree that they were smart with purchasing the rights to Star Wars and Marvel?
Well, yeah, because if you look at it, I went to Disney World last year. And they had Mickey Mouse, Darth Vader, they had everything. So we're just looking at the global, you know, the box office. We're not even talking about the toys and all this nonsense.
Right.
Star Wars could be up there with, like, Coke. Like, they probably surpassed Coca-Cola Company in sales-wise.
Darth Vader is one of the most recognizable figures
next to
in
Jesus.
The world. And you say that, like, it's not an exaggeration.
Darth Vader before Jesus, probably.
Probably. Speaking of all this, you know, one of the things that will help propel them past $7 billion, Avengers Infinity War. And they're saying actually a major character might not be involved. And they revealed that major character, based on, you know, casting call information and everything, is going to be Spider-Man. Do you guys think that he could be that important of a character to have in Avengers Infinity War?
Absolutely. He one of their main guys now.
Ben?
I don't believe so. I mean, it's just weird because, you know, you put him into one of the biggest plot lines for Civil War.
Right.
But if you think about it, you could throw him in here, you know, in there when pretty much everyone dies and then they come back.
Right.
But other than that, I mean, you know, it's going to be more like mystical.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you'll see bigger roles for Doctor Strange and Guardians of the Galaxy and stuff like that. So, for him, you know, I mean, if you threw him in there, he'd only be a footnote.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I'm definitely on your side with this. Like, I can't see Spidey being that, you know, big of a deal in the movie, to be honest. You know, what is he, like, it's literally going to be the equivalent of, like, you know, a teenager fighting a god. I can't see that, you know, happening. Like, that's a truly one-sided fight.
You know, I mean, it's like, afterwards, I mean, it all depends on how the movie goes.
Right.
I'm sure if the movie does gangbusters, then they'll throw him in.
Now, also, you know, speaking of other villains, you know, which, you know, speaking of Thanos, other villains in the Marvel Universe, you know, Vincent D'Onofrio played the Kingpin in Daredevil. And by the way, what did you think of Daredevil on Netflix?
I thought it was great. I'm going to spoil something. I don't from the second season.
I've only watched the first 5 episodes, but hey, I don't mind.
It's not like a big plot, but there's a big hole, and I don't know what the hole is about.
Right.
It was the weirdest part of the show. It's like, you know, near the end of the second season. There's just a big hole, and you're just kind of like, well, how did just show up? What's going on?
Right.
So hopefully that gets figured out in the third season.
I have a feeling it's going to involve Sigourney Weaver's character. in The Defenders, but, you know...
I mean...
Oh, go ahead.
I mean, yeah, I mean, Kingpin was a great part. I wish he was in, you know, the other series, but he was great. He was a great part.
Well, D'Onofrio is going on saying that he wants a Kingpin spinoff on Netflix, you know, because of how successful he was on Daredevil Season 1.
Would that be like a prequel?
He didn't specify, but I think a prequel could definitely work, you know. Like, maybe adapt that Civil War II storyline or whatever, you know, figure out some way, you know, the Matthew Rosenberg run that's going on. Because supposedly that's really phenomenal, and I want to check that out.
Yeah, I mean... Or even, like, show the change, you know, show how he became.
Right. Yeah, it would be...
It'd be cool if they did, like, kind of like a crime drama, like kind of like Sopranos kind of thing.
That would be cool. I mean, there's so much that they could do with the Netflix series. Like, there's so much unlimited potential, you know. Like, myself, I'm a big Moon Knight guy. I want to see a Moon Knight series. You know, Mike, yourself?
Like a crime drama kind of thing. Like, you know, like, would the Kingpin would be cool.
Yeah.
Like Sopranos-esque kind of thing.
Ben?
I would like what they're kind of doing in NBC, where they're doing that, the insurance people.
I believe it's Powerless, I think?
Yeah. So, like, some...
Oh, sorry.
Some like, police, like, you know, going with the police and, you know, how they deal with the superheroes and whatnot.
Well, I know Damage Control was supposed to happen. Damage Control was like the people that, you know, take over after, like, you know, a problem happens. And then they just said, screw it. We didn't like the pilot. And they just abandoned it. And that was a Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. spinoff, I believe. But I don't watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Mike doesn't watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Ben, do you watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Oh, it's so good.
Is it?
So good. So, I mean, this is what happens. It's very slow. But once you get to the episode called The Bridge... That's when the show takes off.
Because all I can think of is that Robot Chicken sketch where it's, next week on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., we need to call on a superhero. How about so-and-so? Nope, not available. So-and-so? Nope, not available. How about Quicksilver? Yes. Oh, wait, no, he's dead. How about so-and-so?
Yeah, I mean, for the show, for me, I thought it was good. They were going to do a spinoff with two characters that, you know, hasn't really come to pass yet.
Yeah, that was the Damage Control. They decided to put the kibosh on it, unfortunately.
Which is awful, because when you watch the show, those were, like, two of the top characters.
It's a weird thing, but, like, you know, it's kind of weird to hear, like, that there's quote-unquote not success in something that Marvel does. Because, I mean, in all honesty... Look at all the movies. Like, you know, there are the weak movies, but they're still pretty damn good, you know?
Like, yeah.
Thor the Dark World is my least favorite thing out of all the Marvel Cinematic Universe movies. But it was okay.
Yeah, but what about Hulk?
Yeah, dude, with Ed Norton?
I mean, I didn't like the comic book Hulk. I didn't like, you know, the newer Hulk. You know, what was that? I forget. But, yeah, I haven't liked any of the Hulks.
Really?
No.
Me either. I'm not a huge fan of them. I'm kind of excited for Thor Ragnarok, though, because I think that
Ragnarok.
Roller Rock?
Rolling Rock.
There you go. But I think that's going to be fun, because, you know, it's going to be Thor and Hulk, and I think they're going to have good chemistry together. Two characters.
I'm a big Ruffalo guy. I feel like he could, you know, knock it out of the park, you know, based on his, you know, work so far. But
yeah, I mean, so far he's been, you know, the Hulk's been good. It's kind of weird because they've kind of leaked pictures and stuff, so it shows kind of like World War Hulk, which right. I don't know how they're gonna fix, you know, fit that in, because based on when he gets shot to the, you know, what is it, Mars or the moon?
I think so.
Who, the Hulk?
Yeah, Hulk, he like goes onto a different planet.
Yeah, they shoot him to like a whole different galaxy.
Yeah, I mean. I don't know. It's one of those things that I would like to see a successful, you know, adaptation of that, and hopefully it works, you know. But going away, you know, from the Marvel Cinematic Universe and drifting over to the Fox Marvel stuff, you know, we're getting a X-Men spinoff film and the New Mutants, and it's rumored that it's going to be, like, they're pitching it as a trilogy of films because you have to, you know, milk this franchise for every single bit that you can. Ben, what's your experience with the New Mutants?
Well... Like for me, First Class kind of brought me back after the awfulness that was X-Men 3.
Oh, yeah.
And the last one with Apocalypse was kind of underwhelming.
Out of all the movies I saw this year, that certainly was one of them.
So, you know, I hope that they I don't even know who they're going to put in.
Yeah, the rumor is Magic is going to be, you know, Ilyana Rasputin is going to be the focal point of the film, which, hey, you know, whatever works. You know, we're going to have, like, you know, mysticism and stuff like that, which is going to be cool, you know?
I mean, as stupid as it was, when Fox did, what was it, Mutant X or whatever, it was an awful TV show, but I, you know, it was kind of like one of those guilty pleasures. I watched it.
That's one of those shows I never got to watch when it was going on, but I would give it a chance just because, you know, because, like, there's still that, you know, 90s camp value to it, you know?
I just remember one scene where, I don't even remember the mutant, but he could absorb whatever he touches. So he's rock climbing, and something's going to hit him. So he absorbs the power of the rock, and when it hits him, he's fine.
All right. That sounds like the most 90s thing ever, too, when I think about it, you know?
So, I mean, for the new, you know, at this point, it's like Fox has been hit or miss. Hopefully, it's more X-Men First Class than Fantastic Four.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm a big Fantastic Four guy, but I just hate how they've handled that franchise, especially.
They made Doctor Doom a hacker.
Yeah. It's one of those films, like, and I've said it, and I will continue to say it, you know, we're a show that covers all these things. We watch these movies. I still have not watched the movie, and, like, the opening weekend when it came out, Mike and I were, you know, talking to people at, you know, this convention we were at that weekend. Have you seen the new Fantastic Four? Have you seen the new Fantastic Four?
Remember that. That was East Coast.
No, it was was during the summer, Terrificon.
Oh, okay.
At Mohegan Sun in Connecticut.
And, by the way, East Coast Comic Con, April 29th and 30th, the Meadowlands Expo Center.
Be there.
Because it's going to be my birthday, folks.
But yeah, you know, like, that was a movie, like, no one had an interest to see. I haven't seen it still. Like, I'm literally waiting for the used Blu-ray price to be, like, $5 or less, you know?
It's not worth it.
I mean, I just don't have feelings towards the film. I don't want to be bothered watching it. And, like, you know, there's so much better stuff that I could watch, you know? I could watch paint dry, and, you know?
And you know what the worst part about it is? Is that how they ended the, you know, Fantastic Four comic book series was so good.
Yeah, and they just killed it off because they're kind of hinting towards it with, you know, the X-Men stuff. Like, it may... But this is the thing. Like, I'm not 100% what Fox's relationship is... Or not Fox's, Marvel's relationship is with the X-Men stuff. Because we're getting, like, a new influx of Marvel X-Men merchandise, you know? Two new X-Men books, X-Men Blue and X-Men Gold, one of which is written by Arrow showrunner Mark Guggenheim, you know? And it's... I don't know. I mean, do you think that they're going to try and, like, kill off the X-Men, like, in the next, you know, 5 years?
I mean, it pretty much Marvel has shown that if they don't have the movie rights, they're going to downplay it as much as possible. So I don't really see, you know, great things.
It disappoints me because, like, there's, you know, the X-Men are such a wonderful part of the Marvel mythos, and they just, you know, they're like, no, we don't care, you know? And it's a shame because, like, look at how big the X-Men were in the 90s. You couldn't, you know, turn a corner without seeing something X-Men related, you know?
Yeah, I mean, just the power from the cartoon series. I mean, you know, everybody remembers waking up and turning on Fox to watch it.
Exactly. But yeah, you know, there's just so much that they could do, and instead they're just like, nope, we're not going to acknowledge it. We're, you know. And I know the current Inhumans versus X-Men series is going on, and I haven't even, you know, bothered to touch that because I'm like, you know, almost 30 years behind in terms of storylines to read, so I'm just like, eh, I don't care.
And, like, if you even look at Fox owns Mutants.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't even say Mutants.
I know I saw the... I've been watching some of the previews for Legion, and, yeah, it's a thing.
I mean, for me, after I watched the movie The Guest, that guy can do whatever he wants.
Right. I have to check it out still. But now, you know, drifting away from Marvel and going over into DC, DC and Warner Brothers just announced that they're going to be doing a Gotham City Sirens film featuring Harley Quinn. Now, Ben, have you seen Suicide Squad, which just launched on DVD and Blu-ray last week?
Yes, I did.
What did you think of it?
I thought it was disjointed.
Yeah, the editing was not that good.
You know, I mean, it just seemed a little all over the place. The Joker was
Hunka.
He was in a music video longer than he was in a movie.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I didn't care for Leto's Joker. Like, looking back on it, like, I've been thinking about this the past few days. I'm like I'm a DC apologist when they come out with films. Like, I initially liked Batman v Superman: Dawn of Justice, and then it changed over a couple weeks. I'm like, no, I really don't like this movie, actually. Like, and it wasn't, you know, statements online changing my opinion. It was just realizing, crap, this really isn't that good, you know? Suicide Squad, I still liked, but I've watched it since, and, you know, I've attempted to watch the extended cut. I can't watch it. It's like, it's really hard. There's a lot of unlikable characters, and it's not the Suicide Squad themselves, it's everyone surrounding them.
Like, I like Suicide Squad. I like Jared Leto's Joker. It just, it was just all over the place.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. You know, it didn't find its identity, really. Like, it was trying to be, you know, this really cool, hip movie, and then, you know, incorporating elements like what made Guardians of the Galaxy great, and, you know, trying to be like, hey, we're different than Batman v Superman, we're different than Man of Steel, we're our own thing, you know?
I mean, hopefully, you know, with the Gotham City Sirens, because, you know, Harley Quinn, you know, in the comic book, from what I remember, is a pretty main part of the Suicide Squad, so...
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of interesting things with how this turns out. I'm hoping, beyond hope, that it's good, you know, because if, you know, if we're going with the Gotham City Sirens, we have to have, you know, I believe Poison Ivy and Catwoman and people like that. And you got to make it good, you know?
I mean, it might be, you know, I mean, if we've seen anything, it's from, like, Batman versus Superman and whatnot. The trailer's amazing, but then when it comes down to the movie, it just seems rushed.
Well, the funniest thing with Suicide Squad was the trailers were edited amazingly, and then they just had the person who edited the trailers edit the movie. And it didn't turn out that well. But, you know, speaking of Suicide Squad, by the way, it was rumored over the past year that a Suicide Squad game was going to be coming out, and it was just announced that Warner Brothers canceled it. And instead, we're going to be getting more Batman games, because who doesn't love playing Batman over and over and over and over and over and over and over again? I mean, yourself, what characters would you want to play in a DC video game other than Batman?
I mean, it all depends. If they do, like, I haven't really played that many of the Batman games, but if they did kind of like the Owl storyline, then I would have liked it, where you play, like, different characters and stuff like that, Red Hood and, you know, different people.
Yeah, I mean, like, myself, I know what Mike's answer is going to be, what, you know, DC video game you would want to play.
Something? Constantine?
I was going to go more for you with Green Lantern, to be honest.
They had their chance.
Yeah, but they... Yeah, that was based on the movie.
God, that game was shit.
But, you know, I would love to see, you know, a Green Lantern, you know, game, or maybe, to be completely honest, a Shazam Captain Marvel game.
There you go. Because actually, the Lego games actually make pretty decent games.
But, you know, it just bums me out that, you know, that they're relying more on making Batman, you know.
It's easy, though, for them. It's easy. Yeah. Super easy. Green Lantern, you got to think, you got to fly, you know.
I love Batman, but, like, the whole concept of...
It gets repetitive.
Yeah, and it's like, when I hear that stupid argument of who would win, Batman or Superman, Superman would win easily, and I always hate the geek conversations like that, because, like, you know who would really win? The fucking publishers. But, you know, when I hear the whole, you know, why would Batman win? Because he's Batman. It's such a cheap and easy way out, because, no, he can't win, because he's fake, too, but, you know.
Swamp Thing must beat him. Or he knew Swamp Thing was going to beat him, so he gave him what he wanted.
Yeah. So, but I mean, if I was, you know, in charge, I would love to see, you know, a Captain Marvel Shazam game. Just have fun with that. Make it, you know, a great game to play. You could, like, play as, you know, Billy Batson. and then, you know, you press select or, you know, whatever is on a PS4 now, and he turns into, you know, Shazam, you know? But I don't know. There's just a lot of stuff like that that I'm hoping happens. Ben, yourself?
I mean, the fighting game.
Oh, Injustice?
You know, yeah, I mean, they're great, and it's, you know, a good story as well.
And by the way, Ben, speaking of video games, you're on Twitch, aren't you?
Yes. Right now, I was chronicalizing me playing Clash Royale.
Very cool.
And, you know, I've got pretty high. I'm trying to get to that trophy season.
How can people find you on Twitch, by the way? Twitch.tv.
Yeah, right now I'm working on it because I guess for streaming a Windows 11 Home Edition is not enough power. So right now I'm just saving up to getting a better streaming laptop.
Right. But how can people like find your stuff? Like, you are on there though, right?
Yeah, like I showed it like a couple. I've been trying to mess around with other programs, but for right now it's kind of hard for me to stream with the computer that I have,
right?
Because I would use a certain program to play. So right now I'm just trying to get it all figured out. You know, who knew that a $500 laptop can you know, stream?
Will wonders ever cease?
Do you play any games like Fallout or anything like that?
Yeah, I mean, like I just got into you know, I'm more like a mobile guy.
Okay,
but for my computer, whatever it can handle, then I'll play. Like, I've just been playing through Borderlands again.
Nice.
I'm kind of scared about going to Borderlands 2 because then it might freeze. You know, if there's any lag in a shooting game, then I'll lose my mind. So right now I'm just playing what my computer can play. But usually I play Clash Royale or Final Fantasy Brave Exvius.
Right.
So that's what I'm playing right now.
Yeah, I fell down the Fallout rabbit hole a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, it's. I mean, any Fallout game is good, except the mobile game is pretty
boring.
It's pretty hard.
Oh, I thought it was. I couldn't get into it.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard, boring. I mean, it's just too much stuff for you to do.
And you got to constantly be playing it too, which is weird.
Oh yeah, I hate those. There was this one game that was just pretty much a touch game, and you had to keep somebody alive.
Yep.
And once you stop playing, the guy died. And I hated it.
I think the thing that blows me away the most about Fallout is the massive open world environment. The open world is, then you go inside buildings and stuff, and they're also just as big, like hospitals and malls and everything. It's insane what we have right now.
The only thing that upset me with Fallout, I was playing Fallout 3, where you have the one gun that whatever you put into it, it will shoot out.
Yeah,
so conceivably, yeah, you could kill somebody with a dish or a sneaker or whatever. But I robbed my town too much, and they all turned on me, and I had to kill the whole town. So now that whole town's dead to me.
Literally.
Yeah, it's just dead. Like, I can't buy anything in that town. I had to kill everybody to get out.
The only thing I don't like is you can get companions in it, but sometimes the game will glitch out, and they'll go to, like, one of your settlements, and you won't know which one. You have, like, 30 settlements, and you got to travel to that fucking Santa Claus. But you got to go to all of these settlements to try to find like one guy sometimes, and if he's holding a certain gun or a key you need, you're screwed.
Yeah, it's a unforgiving game.
I know. I'm trying to think. I fell off of console gaming because of a lack of a TV lately, but my thing was, like, you know, it's insane the world we live in with gaming because of the fact of like how much technology has progressed, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, especially with console gaming, like myself, I'm a big fan of, you know, the game Alien Isolation. And to the point where, you know, if you use the Bluetooth microphone on it, if you're walking down, a hallway or in a locker, if you make any little noise, it'll get picked up in the microphone and the alien will hear you.
Is that the guy who farted and the alien found and killed him?
Yeah, there was a Reddit story. Somebody posted a comment talking about how he was playing Alien Isolation and it's in the middle of the night. He's playing in the complete darkness. And he let one rip while he was hidden in the locker, and the alien came and killed him. He literally died because he farted in a video game.
I can't play games like that because, you know, in Fallout, the fucking feral ghouls, those little fuckers that pop up and come after you, scare the shit out of me sometimes so bad I'll, like, drop my controller or something or scream out loud.
It's incredible, right?
It's, I mean, gaming, I mean, if you, you know, there's a one horror game that you pretty much have to run away and open up start up generators and whatnot, but it's crazy.
They're making one I saw in development right now. It's like takes place in a school, like a high school on Valentine's. I think it's called like Valentine Massacre. And you can play as the killer or the students. And it's like, so it's like, as the killer, you actually got to like track these kids down and find and kill them. You can set traps, and they can set traps for you. It was intense. This thing is the first like video game talk we ever really had on the show.
Well, we've had video game talks, but
we don't have many gamers.
But yeah, I mean, like, I'm trying to think what are some games in 2017 that you're looking forward to, Ben and Mike?
You can go first.
It all depends because like mobile stuff will drop at a moment's notice. Right now, everybody's playing Super Mario Run.
I'm still kind of disappointed about the price of that because I knew they were going to be charging for it, but I didn't know it'd be that much for it.
$10?
Yep.
Yeah, well, I mean, like some games, they'll be up to like $20. I mean, Capcom is going to release 1 through 6 of the Mega Mans.
On the mobile?
So, yes.
Wow. Oh, shit.
So, I mean, think about it. If you think about, you know, like they're doing like almost whole Final Fantasies. It's, you know, the game, when you used to play it, it'd have 3 discs. Now you just fit it on a phone.
Isn't that insane?
I mean, it's just, you know, the ability that phones are able to do. But if you look at it, I mean, my phone, I have an S7, and it gets incredibly hot playing certain games.
Yeah.
So it's like one of those things like, maybe they're just trying to stuff too much and the phones haven't been able to catch up.
I mean, myself, I use for like, you know, retro gaming and, you know, emulation and stuff like that. I use my PSP. I have like the original one, like the fat one. And it's kind of cool because of the fact you can be able to play all these games, like all these retro style games. I can fit, you know, with one of those memory sticks, every disc of Final Fantasy VII, you know, if I want.
Yeah.
And it's crazy. It's good crazy, you know? And I think for myself, like with this, you know, upcoming year, like the game I'm most excited for is, you know, hands down Marvel versus Capcom Infinity or Infinite or whatever it's called. But, you know, the new one.
I think Crash Bandicoot reboots are going to be fun.
I never played Crash when I was a kid.
They're fun.
I think I played like maybe the third one and that was it. But yeah, there's just like, you know, but and Ben with, you know, video games, like, what's your stance on, like, you know, HD remasters of a lot of these games?
I mean, certain games when they released Marvel vs. Capcom 2, I think it was on the Xbox, it just played differently. So if you were used to doing certain combos, because of the emulation, it just threw your timing off.
Yeah, I mean, like, my thing with the HD remaster of Marvel vs. Capcom 2 was it was just a direct port of the arcade version and not, like, you know, the console Dreamcast one, which, in my opinion, was, like, the be-all, end-all for one reason. You actually got to unlock characters, like, slowly over time as opposed to having everything readily available, you know?
Oh, speaking of, like, fighting game, Injustice said they're going to have Spawn in it.
What?
Spawn's going to be in it.
I understand, but why?
It was a vote between Spawn, Hellboy, and Sub-Zero, and Spawn won it.
Really?
And rumor is that they're going to have, like, the Ninja Turtles might be in it, because you know how to do Batman and the Ninja Turtles. Maybe a Power Ranger. Yep.
I don't know how I feel about Spawn being in that, though.
It's weird. Or Hellboy. I think Hellboy would be cool.
Hellboy I would have liked, because, you know, he has the Batman connection, and yeah, Spawn has the Batman connection, too. Yeah, but
or that means we could start seeing characters, because it's all Ed Boon stuff. We could see, like, Alien, Predator, guys like that in the game.
That would be cool. I mean, Ben, what do you think?
I mean, if you look at it, you've already had in Soul Calibur, you had Spawn.
Are they? Yep.
You know, you had Hayachi, which was the weird thing was he played better on Soul Calibur than Tekken.
Yeah.
So I mean, there's been crossovers. And for me, a good fighting game, you know, I mean, for Dreamcast, playing Marvel, there wasn't anything better than doing a team attack and hitting both clickers.
I have to ask, in regards to Marvel versus Capcom, any of them, who is your go-to characters?
I would play Cable, BB Hood, and Hulk, just for the 100% team attack.
Oh yeah.
I got really into Marvel versus Capcom 2 and Soul Calibur 2. Like I would go to Chinatown Fair.
I missed that place, man. That place ruled. Oh, yeah.
I would go on this one place, Eight on the Break in New Jersey, where they would have weekly tournaments. And, you know, you'd go against the best on the East Coast. And, it was a fun time.
Now, drifting away from video game talk and going over into television, they're actually saying, and this is relating to Mike's favorite character, they're saying at the moment that Constantine may one day appear on the Fox television show Lucifer, which is, you know, tied in with Vertigo with Sandman. Mike, Ben, what do you guys think about the possibility that maybe one day he would show up?
I think it's cool.
Really?
Yes. I'm just frustrated now because of fucking Santa Claus and it keeps going off.
In his in the house, there's a can you shut
I
it
can't
off?
Find a bastard.
Oh,
it's a
good.
It's a little thing about the size of a friggin' egg somewhere in this house, and I can't find it. Someone hit it on me.
That's nice.
Yes.
Ben?
I want Constantine to be like the one character from Law and Order who's appeared on like 18 shows or whatnot. I want Constantine on every show.
Munch.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
I want him on every show.
Munch was on X-Files.
Was he?
Yeah.
That's cool.
And it was like a prequel episode where the lone gunmen get in trouble or something with the feds.
Right.
Mulder's in it, yeah.
That's rad. I dig that. I know, what else? Yeah, I mean, a lot of people are saying, like, if they want Matt Ryan to reprise the role, which I would be down for, 110%.
Yeah, it's got to be him.
Yeah, because he is synonymous, you know, with that role. And speaking of synonymous, one of the things Audible Exquisite is synonymous for is our ham-fisted ways of getting in our references to audibletrial.com/...
Audibly Exquisite.
Yes, with audibletrial.com/audibly exquisite, you will be able to choose from thousands of audiobooks that will be given to you for free. You get to choose from one every month. And for the low, low price for the first month of free, you get an audiobook of your choosing. Myself, I've been having read to me Tough Guys Don't Dance by Norman Mailer, because again, I'm on a big Norman Mailer kick. Mike, yourself, is it about that goddamn Santa Claus?
No, it's about Dexter is Delicious.
Ben, have you been having anything read to you through audibletrial.com/?
Audibly Exquisite.
I can't say I have. I know my mother enjoys having books read to her, but for me, I just got to get in there.
Well, Ben, being you're, you know, laid up, there's nothing better to do than have a book read to you.
I recommend, personally, Catalyst, the Star Wars Rogue One prequel. So if you're getting ready to see Star Wars Rogue One, you can have a little bit of a story given to you before the movie happens. A prequel.
Or one of the Dexter books. I recommend one of the Dexter books if you like the show.
Norman Mailer's okay. But anyway, so www.audibletrial.com/...
Audibly Exquisite.
And cancel at any time if you feel the need to. Now also, once again, going back to the beginning of the show, we were talking about how you're a big comic book head. Ben, what do you think of Greg Capullo, the Batman artist?
I mean, you know, he does great work.
Well, I have good news for you. He is back with DC Comics. He re-signed with them the other day, and he is returning to DC. No one knows what he'll be coming back for, but he is going to be coming back to the company. Any like particular favorite work of his that you've seen?
I mean, you know, I like his Batman stuff. I haven't really got into, you know, some of his other stuff like Spawn and stuff like that.
The Spawn stuff is incredible. I highly, highly recommend checking that out. I'm a big 90s comic book fan. So like, there's just that stuff, you know, brings back, you know, warm, fuzzy memories of childhood. You know, like growing up, like hearing, oh my God, Superman's dead. You know, just stuff like that. So Ben, before we go, how can people get a hold of you on social media?
Yes, you can go on Twitter @TheActionOrtiz, and I also have a couple of shirt sites if you can't come to a show or an appearance I'm going to be at. You can go on threadless.com/ActionOrtiz or whatamaneuver.net, and you can get buy some of my shirts.
Very cool, very cool. I'm partial to the Action Airlines, but also the NES style design that you have on there.
Yes, I have the NES one. I also have the Action one, and also my couple Fluffy shirts.
I believe you're good friends with Fluffy the rabbit.
Yes, yes. He will, as of right now, I'm looking at March, going to driving him to a wrestling show in Pennsylvania. Once I know more info, I will put it on the Twitter.
Very cool, very cool.
We're going to have to get you an Audibly Exquisite shirt, Ben.
Absolutely.
So you can wear it to one of your shows one day.
Absolutely, why not?
So now, before we go, how can people get a hold of us, Mike?
Twitter, Facebook, all that good stuff.
Yes.
That fucking
I can see how flustered you are right now because of that. But anyway, you can find us on Twitter, at the AE Podcast, myself, at Peter Melnick, and I'm not going to spell it again. Mike?
Mike underscore Norin.
You can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com. Give us a like ski on there. Facebook.com/...
Audibly Exquisite.
You can find us on the worldwide interwebs, where you can actually listen to older episodes that we have taken down off of our RSS feed. Yeah. You can find also, you know, articles written by people like Anthony C., Tom Klein, and others. And once again, that URL is
www.audiblyexquisite.com.
You can also find us on Instagram at
Audibly Exquisite.
Also, you can help support the show at patreon.com/audiblyexquisite. Sorry. Oh, you went wide-eyed for that, dude.
Took my line, bitch.
Sorry, you can find us on patreon.com/...
Audibly Exquisite.
And from a tiered variety of options, you can help support the show.
And that mystery $1,000 contribution.
You can privately send it to us. If you are so inclined, send us a tweet and maybe, you know, slip into our DMs. We'll figure it out. Also, you can rate, review, subscribe, and share on iTunes. Spread the word like Nutella, because I did not say that at the beginning of the show like I should have. I'm disappointed in myself. You can also stream on a wide variety of social media... You can also stream us on a wide variety of different audio forms on iOS and Android devices, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher Radio, and Podomatic. But now, once again, Ben, it was an absolute pleasure having you on. You are more than welcome to come back on our show anytime.
Thank you for having me.
Definitely, definitely. So once again, how can people get a hold of you on social media one more time?
You can go on the Twitter, the Action Ortiz, or if you do the Gram, Action Ortiz.
So for Peter Melnick, I'm Peter Melnick.
I'm Action Ortiz.
I'm with the Schwartz, and the Schwartz was with me. Have a happy holiday and a great week. Thank you.